So this is his first time up here, and we are proud to have him up here sharing the word today. And I know that he has sought after God, and I think he's changed his message about 9 times already. there's nothing like being called to preach, is there?
Amen.
Amen. So we're excited to hear what he has to say. You guys excited to hear what he's got to say today? Amen.
Woo!
Amen, Chief.
All right.
Well, we're going to pray for you, brother.
All right, thank you.
And I'll take your notes while I leave.
Yeah. I'm not closing my eyes.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in each one of our lives. And we lift up our brother Brian to you right now, Lord, who's got that heart, as I mentioned, to open his mouth and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, he's not afraid to do it. He's done it at times where he has felt trepidation. Maybe he shouldn't open his mouth, but Lord, he's always there to share with somebody the good news, Jesus Christ, and what he's done in his life. Now, well, Father, we pray that you'd anoint him, that you would bless him as he brings forth your word today. May it stir our hearts to action. Father, we ask that you would just take this word and that you would anoint it mightily in his life and our life. And we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you all honor in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, I'd like to begin today by giving everyone who don't know me very well just a little background information. My beautiful wife, Chrissy, over there. Wave your hand there, honey. We've been members of this church for about 21 years now almost. And for most of those years, we've had the easiest group in the church to teach, teenagers. Well, hey, it comes natural to me because, as my wife would say, living with Brian is like living with a teenager. I'll take that as a compliment. I love those teens. But seriously, the one that should be complimented today is my wife, Christy, who has stood by my side through thick and thin, richer and poorer, sickness and in health. And we will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary this month. So give her a hand. Now, I'm amazed at what God has done, not only in our marriage, but in our individual lives as well. You see, about a year before coming here, I had experienced some major health problems. Due to kidney failure, I was down for the count, the 10 count. But God, through the love of my sister over there, she's over there with all the beautiful people there. But God, through the love of my sister, she provided me a slightly used low-mileage kidney. And it's still running, by the way, 22 years later. You know, I met my friend Bob. He's an older gentleman here. I love Bob. I met his wife for the first time. I said, "What do you do for a living?" She says, "I'm a dialysis nurse." I said, "Oh, I was on dialysis." She goes, "When?" I go, "Oh, about 20-some years ago." She goes, "Well, what happened to the kidney?" I said, "I still got it." She goes, "I've never heard anybody going past 8, and I'm a dialysis nurse." I said, "That's the glory of God." Amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, about a year after that transplant, God had another gift waiting for me. But this time, instead of a kidney, we walked through these doors. He gave me something even better, Esther. God gave me a new heart. And our first scripture today is going to come out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36:26 says this. Oh, got it. I like it. Don't even have to open your phones. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." You know, since that time, my life has dramatically changed. I'm not the same person I once was. And I could go around this room and we could hand the mic off for hours and give testimony of what God has done in people's lives, how he's taken them, you know, from prisons, from drugs, from addiction, to everything you name under the sun, and now they're serving the living God. So I praise God for that. My next scripture is coming out of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." I like the New Living Translation puts it. It says, "This means that anyone that belongs to Christ and given their life to him sincerely, they're a new person. That old life is gone. They're no longer that old person." I praise God for that. I don't like that old person. He tries to creep in every now and then, Kenny, and got to beat him down. Amen? So now that we have this new life in Christ and a love for Him, He tells us in His Word what the two greatest things in life are. I'll give you a hint. It's not money and fame. Although that's what the world would tell us, right? Money and fame, yes. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 through 40. We're going to talk about, now, this is, I'm going to set the background of this. We're going to read here about the religious leaders from a group called the Pharisees in Jesus' time. And they're always trying to trip up Jesus with these questions. You know, but Jesus, of course, is the smartest person, you know, in the world. You're not going to trip him up. Verse 35 says this. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him, Jesus, with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then he expounds on that. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So once we've given our lives to Christ, He gives us two simple rules. Love Him and love others. You know, my goal here today is to encourage everyone in here to share the love that God has shown them in His great mercy and extend that love to others in a lost and dying world. Heard a story yesterday. We were at the men's breakfast. Mark Hogan, that handsome man back there, looks like the Beach Boys. Look, he's got better hair than me, and he's older than me. I'll tell you. So Mark Hogan shared with us this story, and he wasn't trying to brag. Matter of fact, he kept this on the DL for so many years. So he was a firefighter in River Rouge in the early 90s. They got a call one morning. That there was a big fire. So by the time he got to the scene, a lady had already smashed out the upstairs window and jumped out and was naked on the ground. She had no time to even get dressed. She's screaming frantically, you got to rescue, you know, my family. So Mark's like, all right, partner, you ready? Let's go. So Mark goes in there. He sees a leg. He pulls a kid out. Then he, okay, goes back in, gets the father, pulls him out. The lady goes, I got little ones, one-year-olds, twins upstairs. Goes back in a third time to rescue them. And his partner, unfortunately, he got scared because of the flames. He got, you know, it intimidated him. And Mark used this scripture, and it's just like, this is the scripture I had already had prepared, so it must be confirmations in Colossians 1:13. It says this, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. And Mark used a great analogy. He says, you know, in the natural, I rescued these people from the flames. But in the spiritual, we're rescuing people from the flames of hell. Amen? And he also got, Mark, I'm going to correct myself, he won runner-up National Firefighter of the Year. Give him a hand. Yes, yes. Well, you know, thank God we've been rescued, amen? But guess what? There's many more souls all around us who are in need of this rescue. You know, God has placed each and every one of us in unique situations to help Him accomplish the task of reaching the lost. You know, you might think your job's dead end, this and that. God has a plan and a purpose for you at that job. God has a plan and a purpose for you wherever you go. Maybe at the gym, maybe coaching like Dan. You don't know. You just have to seek Him. But here's the question. Are we willing to do the work? Are we willing to spend time in prayer for that coworker at work that's lost, and maybe they're in an affair or something, and they're, you know, they need the Lord? Or this guy at the gym battling cancer. Hey, I'll pray for you. No, how about let's pray right now? Not to be showy. You know, go off to the side, pray for a brother. We're going to read here in Matthew 9, 35 through 38. It says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, I know that work's a four-letter word to many folks. But don't let that word scare you. Because in God's kingdom, every work is rewarding. You're going to reap eternal rewards. But even before you reap eternal rewards, you're going to reap rewards here on this earth. When you see a changed life, when you give somebody a kind word that just changed their day, you know, showing them the love of God. You know, Pastor Donnie talked about me doing the announcing, and my mother, God bless her right there, and he said, "You know, I don't want to interpretate the voice. I remember when you were 10 years old, you wanted to do some announcing." I says, "Yeah, because I love Michigan football, and that announcer was crazy. I loved him." Yes. And he was on the radio, and my mom always said I had a face made for radio. Thank you, Mother. Psalm 37:4 says this: "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." You don't have to go chasing this, chasing after the wind, going all this. You know, "Lord, I love you. Use me, God." He knows what you're going to love more than you'll know it. I thought I wanted to be a Michigan announcer. No. I did. I'm not going to lie. It's God's will. But there's a reason he placed me in that school over there. You know, if you don't know, we have a Bible release class that comes over to the church every other Tuesday for an hour. And it's legal. They walk right across the street. They come and they learn about the Bible. I said, "Wow, this is legal? This is cool." Because way back in the day, Pastor Don, he had it in the school after hours. And back in the 80s, Shran, I'm an OG. I was in his first class. OG stands for old guy. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest feelings, Matt, was, you know, because I minister to kids there, try to cheer them up, try to work with them. I love the teens. I love their spirit, you know. But one of the greatest things was Pastor Don says, "Hey, Chief, I want you to teach the Bible release." I said, "Oh, okay." You know, I says, "All right, let's see. Well, I'll tell them where I came from, you know, from the projects to the penthouse, right?" And, you know, I walk in there, and three football players that I recognize. I said, "Oh, this is good. This is good. I like this." You know, it loosened me up a little bit. And after I was done, Pastor Don said, "Normally they're talking while the speaker's talking to them." He says, "Every eye was zoom. Laser focused, you know." So I knew God had a plan, had a purpose. And after that, I was so blessed. I says, "No, Lord, you know, you get little snapshots in life, you know, little highlights. Your kids are born, you get married, you know, you have grandchildren." That was a little snapshot in my life because I was just so happy to do that. I was so blessed to be able to teach them. You know, like I said, Pastor Don, you know, 38 years ago, I can't imagine where I'd be 38 years ago if he did not personally take the time to share the love of Jesus Christ with me at 15 years old. So I want to commend Pastor Don. Thank you so much, even though he picks on me all the time. Yeah, give him a hand. Folks, you don't know who you're going to reach. You could say a kind word to somebody, could change their life, and you could steer him this way and that way. You know, I was thinking, who's the guy that ever preached to Billy Graham? I don't hear about him, right? But he's just as responsible for that good news as because he did his small part. We all got a small part to play. And God's not going to ask you to do more than what you can handle. You know, my first class in college was a speech class. Yeah. Well, am I crazy? And this guy was on the radio, and he was a famous guy, John Delmonico, WWJ. Still remember him. And the last class we had at the end of the semester, I said, all right, I'm going to give my testimony, how I came to the Lord at 15. So I'm up there, and my knees are knocking. And I'm 17 years old at this time. And I get halfway through it, Pastor Don, I choked. I couldn't do it anymore. I was so gripped with fear. You know what? I ain't afraid no more. God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But power and love and a sound mind. So I entitled today's message, Sold Out for Souls. So what does that term mean, sold out? Well, like any other rational person in the 21st century, I Googled it. Don't we all? And this is what I got from the Urban Dictionary. I love this definition. To be sold out means be willing to go anywhere, do anything, and give up everything in order to achieve your goal by any means necessary. Go anywhere, do anything, give up everything in order to achieve your goal, any means necessary. Now, I'm not sure if the dictionary meant it this way. Probably not. But it sounds to me like they were describing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, let's go back to Matthew 9:35. You know, Jesus was willing to go anywhere. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. He was willing to go anywhere, right? He'd been everywhere, man, like Johnny Cash. Jesus gave up everything to achieve his goal. John 6:38 says this, For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me, his Father. Right? So many times we want to do our own thing. I want to do my own thing. And we get ourselves in trouble doing our own thing, right? Hey, God, what do you want me to do? Because that's where I'm going to find my joy. That's where I'm going to find my peace. That's where I'm going to find my rest. Amen? And finally, Jesus, he gave the ultimate gift by laying down his life for us and paying the price for our sins, as we talked about, Pastor John, in communion. John 10:14-15, Jesus says this about himself. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Nobody could take it from him. He laid it down willingly. No greater love, like Pastor John said, than to lay down your life for your brother. Thank you again, Karen, for that. By the way, just with my other brother and my brother and my other sisters, they all went and got tested, too, to give me a kidney, and they all matched. But unfortunately, Karen drew the short straw, so... Hey, somebody had to. I think it was rigged. So they were, hey, if you're willing to lay down your life, that's just as, you know, right? Amen? So if Jesus did all that for our sake, leaving his throne in heaven and becoming a man, being tempted in every way we are, but never once sinned, paying the price for his sins by a brutal death on the cross, also we could spend eternity, he could spend eternity with those who would put their faith, hope, and trust in him. And what can we possibly do for God? Well, we can start by doing what he asks. And one thing I know for sure that he commands us to do is to share our faith, share his love with others. And it's very simple. Tell people what God's done in your life. Amen? I like this scripture in Isaiah. We're going Old Testament, Pastor Don. I know you like that. Isaiah 6:8 says this. See, Isaiah was bold. Says here, Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, Here I am. Send me. That's all. God just wants a willing heart. Are we willing? If we're not able, he'll make us able. Like I said, that speech class, I was scared to death. But guess what? 30-some-odd years ago, God was preparing me to be able to speak in front of others. Because he's given us a voice. Amen? If you want an exciting life as a Christian, then I challenge you today to make this prayer the cry of your heart. Lord, here I am, Lord, use me. That should come with a disclaimer, Pastor Don, because once you start praying that prayer and you start asking God to use you to minister to others, watch out, because he's going to take you up on it. You know what? But you're going to give hope to the lost. You know, it may not be easy. You may be shaky, stumble on your words, sweaty, you know. But, you know, like everything else, with practice, you get better at it, right? You know, just as someone like Pastor Don with me and my mother shared the good news, we need to pay it forward to others. You know, I have so many stories that I could share with you. But I shared this at the Bible study before, and many of you might have heard it. And actually, my brother, that handsome man back there, Kenny, he's actually a key part of this story. Yeah, you are. So I go over to the Melvindale Pharmacy, been going there for years, and as I'm walking in, a friend of mine is walking out. And I'd never seen him there before, never seen him since. How you doing, Dave? He says, not good. So what's going on? My dad's in the hospital. He's on his deathbed. I go, what? You know, I'm sorry. I says, you want me to come up to the hospital? You know, it's Oakwood Hospital, and pray for him? He said, I absolutely don't want no preachers up here. I said, oh, okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what, Dave. And Dave came to church here for a season. I said, Dave, let me tell you what. I'm going to pray for you, okay? And maybe he'll let you, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I gave him the old prayer, and, you know, I think I walked away doing a good thing. All right. So I called a mutual friend who was also part of this church at the time, and I said, hey, Dave Wedge's dad's in the hospital. I wanted to let you know to pray for him. He goes, we're going to see him. I go, hey, hold on. He said he don't want no preachers up there. He goes, I feel it in my spirit. We need to go. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. So we're going up to the hospital, and I'm like, I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, I'm thinking this guy's going to take, you know, his water or worse and throw it at us, you know. Oh, gosh, here we go. So we go and we walk in the room, and the guy, he couldn't speak, but he was conscious. It didn't look to me like he was dying, honestly. So we walk in that room, and he's just kind of looking, and the whole family's there. I walk over to him, and I'm like, what am I going to do here? He said he didn't want no preachers. Scared, Lord, you know. I don't want to be offensive, right, Pastor John? But my buddy felt we needed to be there. And I said, hey, Dave, Wedge, right? And I says, you know my brother Kenny. He goes, he got a smile on his face. You guys used to play cards together when I was 10 years old. He's smiling and nodding this and that. All of a sudden, everything changed. I said, Dave, I'm going to tell you something right now. I says, it doesn't look good. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I says, you may die. I said, but I'm going to tell you, God has sent me and my brother here to pray for you. I says, you know the thief on the cross, at the last moment he gave his life to Jesus Christ, he repented, and Jesus told him, today you'll be with me in paradise. I says, Dave, would you like to pray that prayer? He's like, and he prayed it. Everybody in the room was bawling. I'm bawling. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And then Dave says, we're going to start coming out to church. And okay, you know, they came once. That's okay. But yeah, I got a call, like, I think it was either the next day or the following day, and he goes, hey, Brian, I just wanted to let you know my dad died. And I said, well, you know what? Thank God he's with the Lord. Thank God. You know, people say there aren't any miracles today. You know, I beg to differ. You go from a guy 24 hours earlier, he didn't want nothing to do with God, explicitly said, no preachers. And then he has a changed heart, and God saves him at the last minute, right? By his grace. What a story. I just love that story. Salvation is a miracle, and as Shane said today, he must have stole my notes. It's a free gift from God that we cannot earn. Thank you, Shane. That confirms something. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, Shane, says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. A free gift. Just like when that thief was on the cross, he was telling the other thief, he goes, hey, we deserved our punishment. We deserved to die in our sins. This man is innocent. He didn't do nothing. He said, Lord, remember me. You come into your kingdom. What great mercy and grace our Lord had for us. And he has it for each and every one of us. Can we get a little radical for Jesus, church? I don't mean beating people over the head with the Bible. Although, Mom, I still got a couple welts. That's where that spot came from, I think. My mom had that big Bible with the pictures and all that. That's scary to look at. Some demons in there. I was like, whoa, I got scared into the kingdom. Sometimes you need to get scared into the kingdom, right? You know? That's right, the Bible Belt. But I mean, can we be radical? Can we be radical for Jesus? Be radical. Can we show our neighbors love and compassion? Can we pray with them when they're spilling their guts out to us, how their life's a mess, or they have a loved one that's, you know, sick or dying or this or that? Can we show up at the funeral and offer compassion? Now, quick story. Went to get Christy a car for her 50th birthday. Sorry to reveal your age. We didn't even intend to go to this one car lot. So we show up at this used car lot over by my brother's. And this guy's like, oh, yeah, this car, blah, blah, blah. And he looks at me. He goes, my stepson just died. He committed suicide. My other stepson 2 years ago committed suicide. Next thing you know, Pastor Don calls. So, hey, Pastor Don, what's going on? He goes, blah, 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 blah. He goes, that's your pastor? He goes, ask him to do the funeral. Hey, oh, that's great. This must be God. Hey, Pastor Don, you want to do the funeral? And, Chief, when is it? I can't. I'm busy, this and that. Dang it. I knew what was going to happen next. I said, Dave, he can't do it. I said, but I've done funerals before. You know, I'm a deacon in my church. You know, but he goes, oh, I appreciate this and that. So I had a divine appointment and did the funeral. And after the funeral, his sister comes up to me. She goes, I just want to thank you. She was a born-again believer. She goes, we've been praying for Dave. You know, she says, this is more about Dave, you know, her brother. And just, you don't know. You just got to be willing to be, you know, you got to be radical. That was radical. And even the day of the funeral, I mean, we had a snowstorm this deep. And I'm like, Lord, are you sure? But those people were counting on me. What if I don't show up to the funeral? What if we don't open our mouths when the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what, share the love of Jesus with this person? Well, Lord, I was afraid. You know, it's okay to feel fear. You know, Jesus felt fear before he went on that cross. But he didn't act in it. He still went through with what he had to do, right? Now, I'm reminded of an old saying that goes like this. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can spout Bible verses at them all day. If you don't show love to them, like Bob said, if you don't love someone, don't share the faith. You got to have a love for them. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. Finally, are we willing to look foolish in the eyes of the world to share God's love with them? You know, some of us can attest to, Bob even shared, you know, in our own drunken days, we had no problem looking like fools, did we? Yeah, you know, let's not go there, but we had no problem with that, right? Last story. Dan and I took the young youth group boys, about five or six of them, to a youth rally that Pastor John really wanted us to go to. It was in Sturgis. I go, oh, we're getting our Harleys? He goes, no, Sturgis, Michigan. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll go. And so we were there, and the ones that were doing the preaching were all these young adults. They were on fire for the Lord. So this guy had to be maybe only 21 years old. He's sharing this story. And it goes like this. He's telling a story about a young man walks into the mall. And as he walks into the mall, he gets this thought, I want you to go stand on your head over in the food court by the vending machine. What the, The heck is that? That's crazy. So he walks into one of the stores. He gets the same thought. I want you to go stand on your head in the food court by that vending machine. That can't be God. Why would God ask you to do something crazy like that? Right? Can't be God. One more time. I want you to go stand on your head in that food court right there. All right, Lord, you know what? I'm willing. I'm willing to be a fool for you. But I believe this is you, God, speaking to me. So what's he do? He goes over to the food court, gets over by the Pepsi machine, gets down there, you know, gets up on his head, you know, and as he's down there, he looks, he's like, there's this young woman just sobbing, right in front of him. He's like, oh, what the heck's going on here? So he gets up, like, can I help you? She's all choked up. She's crying, bawling. She goes, you don't understand. You don't understand. Understand what? She goes, 5 minutes ago, I was in my car in the parking lot. I was going to commit suicide. And I said, God, if you're real, when I walk in that mall, I want you to have somebody standing on their head in the middle of the food court. What? That's our God. Amen? Amen. We'll close with the video. Thank you, Kenny O'Rourke. We always got to play a video. Years ago, I fell in love with a Christian singer that had such a heart for the lost souls. Matter of fact, he sold out the Pontiac Silverdome. We went there with the youth group. And while I was preparing this message, I said, you know what, I'm going to play that song. Just kind of inspire me. You know, go back to that old music, you know, that really fires you up. So as I'm looking, playing the song, and I'm getting choked up, I noticed that somebody had put it to a video. You know, when you see something on video, it has an impact on you. You know, you could tell me all about Pearl Harbor and all this and that, but when I watch that movie and I see the bombing and I'm like, wow, it makes it so real, you know? So the song, which was a favorite of mine back in the day, was put to this video. And I just want to share that with you guys.
They tightly strapped each wrist. With a hellish look stood a strong-armed soldier, whip clenched in his fist. Laced with chips of bone, they beat him hard, from his shoulders to his feet. And it sliced right through his olive skin, just like razors through a sheath. Countless times the blood splattered, as each inhuman lash was given. Several times his knees gave way, as his flesh just hung like rivets. Then surprisingly, he turned his head, though the words he used were few. The soldier's face turned pale when he said, "This blood is for you." Uncaringly, they tossed a garment across his weakened form. And his blood pressure fell deathly low as the crowds began to swarm. They forced him to carry his cross up the road as his face they punched and smacked, while the splinters from the crisscross beam dug deep into his back. Through lack of sleep and dehydration, his tongue began to swell, and weakened by his loss of blood, this prophet teacher fell. When he did, some blood splattered on a man named Simon Shue. And as he bent to wipe it off, the prophet looked and said, "Simon, this blood is for you." Bursting arteries and veins. And as they drop the cross in the hole they dug, his body convulsed with pain, agony, and torment that never a soul shall find. He tilts his face towards heaven with full control of his mind. With more love than any human heard before that time or since, he made a statement that to this day makes the strongest skeptic wince. He cried, "Father God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as he gave his life for those lost in sin, he was saying, "This blood is for you."
Prayer team forward, please. Powerful scene, huh? Powerful song. We're going to close. I'm going to ask each and every one of us a question. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow like my friend's dad. There's no guarantees in this life. Amen? You don't know the Lord, and you want to, I beseech you, when I close here, to come forth, receive prayer from these prayer warriors. Or maybe you've gotten stale in sharing the faith with others. You know, don't think I'm always on fire for God, because I'm not. We have to beat this flesh daily. Because Brian wants to do what Brian wants to do. I don't want to minister to this guy. You know what? I pray, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours should be the cry of our hearts. Amen. So if you want prayer, you know, for anointing to reach the lost, I pray you come up too. Amen. This is serious business. I know I joke. You know, I like to joke around. I'm a big kid, right? Yeah, I am. But I'm dead serious about this. I'm dead serious about the love of the Lord. I'm dead serious of what He's done in my life. My family can attest to it. And I thank God for each and every one of you here. And so we're just going to close right now. So We're going to pray. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you for today, Lord God, this beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us on that cross. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom in Christ that we have been given, Lord. Your word says it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, Lord, I pray you use us. You anoint us, Lord God. You put a passion in us to help reach those prisoners that are lost and hurt, lonely, confused, suicidal like that girl at the mall. Lord, you can touch them, Lord God. And for some reason, you choose to use us, Lord. And we are grateful and we're humble. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon this day. Bless each and every person here. We thank you, we praise you, give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.